Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the summer show train. The Association of American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life, brings you the Railroad Summer Show Train, transcribed, starring Gordon McRae, and featuring Lucille Norman, with the music of Carmen Dragon and the orchestra, script by Gene Holloway, and the choir under the direction of Norman Luboff. And now here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we're going to ride the summer show train back through time and memory to a year that you lived yesterday. Tonight's destination, the year 1937.
The leaves of front and tumbling down, remember, in September, in the rain, the sun went out just like a dying ember, in September.
...1937, a year that you lived yesterday. It was the year of the 75th Congress, of Dr. Francis E. Townsend and old age pensions. The year of the marriage of the most publicized couple of the century, ex-King Edward of England and Mrs. Wallace Simpson.
It was the year Louise Reiner won her second Academy Award with her performance in the movie The Good Earth. And the year Frederick March and Janet Gaynor made the eloquent and unforgettable film A Star Is Born.
Yes, Lucille. And it was also the year we heard Alan Jones sing a brand new song that had been added to the score of an old and much-loved operetta. We heard this in the movie version of The Firefly in 1937.
Doesn't seem to care for the song in the air. So I'll sing to the mule, if you're sure she won't think that I am just a fool serenading a mule. Amigo mio, does she not have a dainty bray? She listens carefully to each little tone you play. La bella señorita, si, si, mu, mucho chita. She'd love to sing it too if only she knew the way.
Try as she may, in her voice there's a flaw. And all that the lady can say.
There's a song. Senorita doesn't seem to care for the song in the air.
Senorita, don't you see that you're the one for me?
But try as she may, in her voice there's a flaw.
And all that the lady can say.
But so sweet like my Chiquita, you're the one for me.
...1937, America. You were waltzing to a lovely melody called Vienna Dreams. But dreams and waltzes were almost a thing of the past in Vienna. There was no melody in the cold voice that rang out like steel across Germany, Austria, Europe.
Sie haben das Recht, das deutsche Haupt nun wieder mit Stolz erhoben tragen zu dürfen. Wir alle aber haben die Pflicht, es nie wieder unter einen fremden Willen zu beugen. Dies sei unser Gelöbnis, so wahr uns Gott helfe.
You are listening to the voice of Adolf Hitler, leader of the Nazis, speaking before the Reichstag in Berlin in 1937. His message echoed throughout the world as he shouted those bold words of defiance. Germany annuls and repudiates the admission implied in her signature, the Versailles Treaty, fixing upon her responsibility for the World War. And from this time onward, the German railways and the German Reichsbank are free from the obligations imposed upon them by that treaty, and are restored to the complete sovereignty of the Reich. But it wasn't all tragedy in 1937.
Night and you and nobody, the night is heavenly, and you are heaven to me.
Skiing was a new vogue, and special snow trains left each winter weekend from many of the big cities.
And Hollywood was off on a cycle of Hawaiian and South Sea Island pictures. Dorothy L'Amour was adding a lot to a sarong and a song in a movie called Hurricane. Remember?
The moon of Monocula filled the night with magic Polynesian charms. The moon of Monocula came in sight and brought you to my eager arms. The moon of Monocula soon will rise again above the island shore. Then I'll behold it in your dusky eyes, and you'll be in my arms once more.
The moon of Monocula soon will rise again above the island shore.
This is all part of 1937.
Once in a while, will you try to give one little thought to me? Though someone else may be nearer your heart.
An interesting year, 1937. You read important headlines on the front pages of your newspapers, along with other less important things.
Come on, honey. I want to get in and see it. I don't want to be clear at the end of the line.
Well, I'm not running on my day off just to look at some silly old flower in the Bronx Botanical Garden.
This isn't a silly old flower. It's one of the largest in the whole world. It's 8 feet tall, and it took 5 years for it to blossom. You may never get another chance to see anything like this again.
Well, that's perfectly all right with me.
Here we are, dear. Hothouse 9.
Where's the line?
Well, there should be a line. Everyone I know is coming to see it.
Well, let's go in and get it over with. There's no one even in here.
Oh, look at it. It's way up to the roof.
What's that peculiar odor?
It is pretty bad, isn't it? Let's ask the attendant.
Yeah. Hey, guard.
Yes, sir?
What's that awful odor?
Oh, that's the crubby, sir, the plant.
Yeah, and that's just the way it smells, crubby. No wonder there's nobody in here.
Well, after all, it's the biggest flower in the world. You can't expect it to have everything.
Well, it certainly doesn't. Come on, let's get out of here, fast.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes, 1937 was the year the crubby bloomed at the Bronx Botanical Gardens. It was also the year Joe Louis won the title from Jim Braddock. The year Crown Princess Juliana of Holland was married to Prince Bernhard at The Hague. And the year you first began to sing a lovely song by Dick Rogers and Lorenz Hart that went like this.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then. But I can't remember where or where.
The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then. But I can't remember where or where.
Some things that happened for the first time.
The very first time.
Seem to be happening again.
And so it seems that we have met before, and laughed before, and loved before, but who knows where or when. It seems we stood and talked each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you were smiling then, but I can't remember where or when.
That happened for the first time. Seem to be happening again.
And so it seems that we have met before,
and loved before,
and loved.
When you send or receive an out-of-town letter or a parcel post package or a magazine, chances are you are using railroad service. For the great bulk of all intercity mail moves by rail, about 94% of the first class or letter mail, in fact, and an even larger proportion of the second and third class mail and parcel post. In moving this mail, the railroads do a lot more than just hauling loaded cars. Their service includes furnishing specially designed cars with working space, equipped so postal clerks can sort and distribute mail en route. It includes furnishing other cars equipped with passenger train running gear. It includes the work of loading and unloading mail on cars at terminals. The railroads must also return mail cars promptly. Since on most routes there is more mail moving in one direction than in the other, many of these cars must go back empty. Occasionally, they can be used to carry express, but usually the heavier movement of express is in the same direction as the mail. Returning mail cars cannot be used in freight service, partly because they are equipped for running in passenger trains, and more important, because using them to carry freight would mean undue delay in getting them back to the points where the heavy mail originates. So railroads run them back in passenger service, sometimes in whole train loads of empty mail cars, to get them promptly where they will be available for further postal service. The next time you drop a letter in the box or the postman comes to your door, remember that back of our fine postal service, there is a whole lot of railroad service, an essential part of the intricate pattern of the movement of the United States mails, a service performed by the railroads without any sort of subsidy from the government. And now, back to Gordon McRae, Lucille Norman, and the summer show train's trip to the year 1937.
Can I forget you, or will my heart remind me that once we walked in the moonlit
green? 1937, a year that you lived yesterday. Remember, America? Thomas Dewey was appointed District Attorney of New York. An atom smasher was built at the Westinghouse Laboratories. And the whole country was falling in love with an impudent wooden scoundrel named Charlie McCarthy. And a lot of husbands were having trouble with their wives because of some words written by a southern housewife.
Hey, Lucy, where's my dinner? I'm hungry.
We're going out to dinner.
Oh, again?
I told you I wasn't cooking until after I finished reading Gone with the Wind. After all, this is the number one book on the fiction lists all over the country.
Why don't you try reading the number one book on the nonfiction list?
What's that?
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
That's not very funny.
Yes, a lot of husbands had trouble with their wives in 1937 because of Gone with the Wind. And then the next thing you knew, one of the men would pick up the book and start glancing through it. And then you wouldn't be able to tear him away from it. Well, it was a sentimental year on the whole. The books were sentimental, the movies were sentimental, and the songs were particularly sentimental. Remember this song? It's one you liked to sing back in 1937.
I see your face before me, crowding my every dream. There is your face before me. You are my only thing. It doesn't matter where you are. I can see how fair you are. I close my eyes and there you are. Always, if you could share the magic, if you could see me too, there would be nothing tragic in all my dreams of you. Would that my love could haunt you so, knowing I want you so. I can't erase your beautiful face before me.
I see your face before me, crowding my every dream. There is your face before me.
That my love could haunt you so, knowing I want you so. I can't erase your beautiful face before me.
Yes. Songs were sentimental, and so was the country.
I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came inside, I got that old feeling.
That old feeling. Your your song if you were carrying a torch in 1937. It was a crowded year. Big events, small events. Some of them would be remembered forever. Some forgotten in a day.
You read about the royal weddings, the details of the Dionne Quintuplets' third birthday, and of the crowning of King George VI in Westminster Abbey. And everyone who could gather at the radios on January 20th heard the President of the United States stand in the pouring rain to take the oath of office for the second time.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
...1937, 13 years back into time and memory. If you were a Bobby Soxer at the time, you were dancing the Big Apple. Or maybe you and your family visited the Sesquicentennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Or perhaps you heard with a heavy heart the words of Amelia Earhart Putnam as she radioed her farewell to history.
We are over the Pacific. We have enough fuel for half an hour. Our position is doubtful.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were parting. The same old harbor lights that once brought you to me.
1937. Amelia Earhart's year and Franklin Delano Roosevelt's. And Mayor LaGuardia's, Joe Louis's year, Majesty for King George VI of England.
Romance for the Duke of Windsor, and almost $1 million in trust for the five little Dionnes in Canada.
And then, just after Christmas in 1937, Walt Disney gave us a beautiful gift for the holidays. His first full-length feature in Technicolor, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and taught America to whistle again.
Whistle while you work. That grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Then do your best and take a rest and sing yourself a song. When there's too much to do, don't let it bother you. Forget your trouble, try to be just like a cheerful chickadee and whistle while you work. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Now you squirrels, sweep the room with your tail.
Just whistle while you work.
Ah, you mustn't sweep it under the rug.
Put on that tune, start right in, whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
You're all doing a wonderful job.
Just do your best and take a rest and sing yourself a song. When there's too much to do, don't let it bother you. Forget your trouble, try to be just like a cheerful chickadee and whistle while you work. Come on, get smart.
Come on, get smart.
Tune up and start.
Tune up and start
to whistle while you work.
Well, folks, we're ready to ride the summer show train up through time and memory from 1937 to 1948. You remember 1948, don't you?
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows. Rings and things and buttons and bows.
Yes, Buttons and Bows won the Academy Award for 1948. And Nature Boy was the big ballad hit of the year.
Women acquired the new look. And New Yorkers could no longer ride all day for a nickel when subway fares were raised to a dime.
And in 1948, one of America's foremost modern composers and lyricists, Cole Porter, set Shakespeare to music in the year's gayest musical, Kiss Me, Kate, and sent another great ballad on its way to immortality.
Strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close to you, dear, the stars fill the sky.
without you, my arms fold about you.
Joining us. In just a moment, I'll tell you what we have in store for you next week. The Summer Show Train is written by Gene Holloway and brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Remember that whenever you ship by rail, your money is working in four different ways. It pays for safe, dependable transportation. It helps ensure better and more economical service in the years ahead. It promotes business for industry and jobs for people in all parts of the country. And it means taxes that help pay for the education of your children and the general public welfare. Yes, for the country and for you, it's good business to do business with the railroads. Remember Good Night, Sweetheart? It was one of your favorite songs back in 1931. And next week, the Summer Show Train is going to take you back to that year, to relive some of its interesting happenings and hear many of its greatest song hits. Songs like Dancing in the Dark, Of Thee I Sing, and As Time Goes By. So folks, be sure to join us again next Monday and journey with us aboard the Summer Show Train back to the year 1931.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week, goodbye.
This performance of the Railroad Hour Summer Show Train was transcribed in Hollywood. Gordon McRae is currently starring in the Warner Brothers Technicolor musical hit, The Daughter of Rosie O'Grady. The voice of Amelia Earhart was an impersonation. And now for Lucille Norman, the Norman Luboff Choir, Carmen Dragon and the orchestra, and our star, Gordon McRae, this is Marvin Miller with a hearty invitation from the American Railroads to join us again next week and ride the Summer Show Train back to the year 1931. And now stay tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.